The first one comes from Isaiah, chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, bringing it forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace, and the mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And from the Gospel of Matthew, another passage about growing and seeds and watering and, well, okay. That same day, Jesus left the house and went out beside Lake Galilee, where he sat down to teach. Such large crowds gathered around him that he had to sit in a boat while the people stood on the shore. And then he taught them many things by using stories. And he said, a farmer went out to scatter seed in a field. While the farmer was scattering the seed, some of it fell on the ground and was eaten by birds. Other seeds fell on thin, rocky ground and quickly started growing because the soil wasn't very deep. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and dried up because they didn't have deep roots. Some other seeds fell where the thorn bushes grew and choked the plants. But a few seeds did fall on good ground, where the plants produced 100 or 60 or 30 times as much as was scattered. If you have ears, pay attention. Words of hope from our sacred scriptures. Thanks be to God. It's never for nothing. In the first passage, we hear words from Isaiah that compare the rain and the snow with words of God. They go out, but they don't come back until they have watered and nourished the land. In other words, the water and the snow are not wasted. God's words are not wasted. They go out and are useful no matter what. God's words are not wasted. They go out and they are useful no matter what. In the second story, a parable of Jesus that's familiar to many, the farmer sprinkles seed all over the field, and I have this vision of the oldie-timey way of sprinkling seed through your fingers like this, and it would just kind of go everywhere. I don't think they do that anymore. Just saying. But the seed goes all over the place. It goes along the road, it goes among the thorns, and it goes on good soil, and it goes on rocky soil. It goes everywhere. The seed goes everywhere. Some of the seeds don't even sprout. They get eaten up by birds. Bad for the seed, really good for the birds. Some of them germinate, but not all of them manage to become full plants because they might have landed in thin, rocky soil or they got choked out by weeds. And others do sprout and grow, and they produce a lot of plants. I think there are lots of ways to look at this parable. When Jesus told stories, it was parables. Things that you could just unpack and look at it in a different number of ways. Often the focus of this parable of growing seeds is on the soil into which the seeds get planted. You know that hymn that goes, God, replace my stony heart with a heart that's warm and tender. In other words, replace my heart and let me till that soil of my heart so that you can plant your seeds in my life. And I've heard a lot of sermons, I've probably preached a lot of sermons that are just like that. The preacher who's preaching that particular sermon might say, well, meditation and prayer, everything, and going to church, all those things will help you till the soil of your heart. But that's not what this preacher is preaching this morning. It's all good. Remember, it's all good. But I was wondering whether when we looked at that parable of the scattering of the seeds, we could imagine ourselves as partners with God being the farmer. We're right alongside planting those seeds with God. We're partners. And then I found myself wondering, what kind of farmer, why this farmer would sprinkle the seeds all over the place, even on rocky ground, or amongst the thorns, or in thin soil? Why would this farmer do that? So you're walking along with God. Why are you doing that, God? I think I know. It's because you never know. You never know. You never know when things might grow. A few years ago, Ron planted tobacco in the garden. I got show and tell. I can send it along if you want. This tobacco was grown, it's special, what did you say, Delaware? Ceremonial tobacco. We planted it for ceremonial reasons. You give tobacco to an elder when you're going to ask a question or be with them. We put down tobacco when we take something from the land. So if we were to pick sage, we put down tobacco. When we take a deer from the land, we put down tobacco. It's ceremonial and it's very special. Here's the thing we learned. Well, it grew into these giant leaves, which are dried, and in here, along with some seed pods, and if you look at the bottom, I can pass this to, if you want. Just know, you know, in these COVID times, after we've passed it from everybody to everybody, don't forget to wash your hands. If you look at the bottom, there are the most tiny seeds in the world. Tobacco is the mustard seed of indigenous North America. We planted tobacco once. We never have to plant it again. I think the same as for things like dill. If you have dill in your garden, you're always going to have dill in your garden. Same with horseradish. We've never tried horseradish, but same with that. That's tobacco. We can pass that around. It's odd, though. I'm not the gardener, Ron is. So who here is a gardener? When do you start? Okay. When do you first open the seed catalog? December, right? And then you get a few things and then you start them under lights, right? There's a lot of work that goes into that. Babying and nurturing. You plant these, or you might take them out and put them under fabric so the bugs and the birds don't get it, or maybe we've got it under some dark fabric so that it will grow in the heat and just baby and nurture these things along. You don't have to do that with tobacco. It volunteers. And, you know, you baby these things, you plant them, you've got them in your garden, and you're nurturing them, you're watering them, you're taking care. And then we would walk over to the bird feeder. And under the bird feeder, there's something. Niger or some kind of millet, safflower, growing in the middle of the dog run. With no help at all. So it's just weird because you just like never know what's going to grow and where. In the last quite a few years, there's been quite a lot of anxiety about the church in general. I don't know if you're feeling this. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are fewer and fewer people in the pews. And not just because it's summer. Attendance in general is on the decline. A few years ago, you'd be reading books about, you know, best practices, and ministers in burgeoning churches would say, well, we tried this and this is what happens. And there's still, that's still happening. And yet, with a few exceptions, church attendance is still on the decline. It's like all of those little gospel seeds that we've been sprinkling in the churches are not growing. Or even if they do take root, they don't last. So I'm going to milk this metaphor for everything it has. I began to wonder about the seeds that are being sown. Why don't they take root? Or rather, why don't they grow into the gospel plants that we want them to be? I have three suggestions for us to think about. First of all, it's possible that we're planting the seeds of the gospel in the wrong soil. Well, maybe not the wrong soil, but maybe we're only planting them where we think it should grow. You know, it's like when you're looking for your phone and you look in all the places it should be and you can't believe it, but then you find it where it shouldn't be. We're planting seeds where we think they should be. And where do we think they should be? Here. Right here in the church. We're planting gospel seeds in the places where we think it should grow. The church. Planting them in the church. Now, those safflowers under the bird feeder might have grown if we'd planted them in the garden, but they sure grew well on the dog run. What if instead of sowing all of our seeds in the church, what if we realized that we might be missing out on all the other places where the good news might grow? Now, I don't agree with a lot of the theology of some of our more evangelical kin and communities of faith, but I have to hand it to them for their efforts. We got a tract in the mail last week, maybe a lot of you did, about this big. I read it. It was appalling. Quite appalling. I did not agree with their version of the good news. But there it was, on my kitchen table, and I read it. They were planting a seed. So if I'm thinking, if we have a different version of the good news, our good news that God's grace is for everyone and more, it's important to get it wider than here. Important to plant not just in the church and hope for the same results as like 1950 whatever. It's not going to happen. And so that's why our public, intentional, and explicit activism about 2SLGBTQA+ issues and reconciliation efforts are important. That's why climate action, justice, and outreach are important. Planting seeds outside of these walls. Plant seeds here for sure, but it's important to plant them out there. Whatever that means, and by all means possible. Number two, it's important for us to remember that we don't need to use the same kind of seeds for everything. Just because it grew once in one particular garden doesn't mean that it should grow there forever. Soils get tired. They might need you to move the beans to fix some nitrogen there. Or they might need a little compost. Remember last week, into everyone's life, a little compost must fall? Maybe it's because you can't plant carrots there. Maybe it has to be beans there. Or tomatoes. You can't plant the same seeds in the same soil year after year and expect the same thing. So at every turn, at every opportunity, it's important for us as Christians and for us as the church to ask whether we have been sowing the same seed in the same spot for too long. Is our worship accessible to everyone? Is it relevant? How are children and youth being nurtured from here and around here? What kind of spiritual nurture do adults and seniors need? Are our outreach and justice programs making a difference? How do we get beyond our walls and do things that are different, planting seeds that are different than what we are usually doing? How are we planning for the future? You know, when I was at a conference, completely away from my notes now. I was at a conference, our regional gathering, a few weeks ago, and they were talking about, they actually were asking us, the people of the conference, what we thought the future of the world and the future of the church might be. Lo and behold, in 70 years from now or something, what it was supposed to be, it's not going to look anything like it does now. The world will be different. And people imagined the church would be different. But how? Different seeds, different soil, different world. Are we planning for that? Or are we hoping that planting the same seeds over and over again, it's going to miraculously bloom into 1957 again? I don't want to make fun of that. It was great, but it's gone. The third point I want to make concerns this image of the gardener casting seeds all over the place. That reminds me of other gospel stories. It reminds me of the prodigal God. You know, like the prodigal son, you know that story? The prodigal means wasteful. The prodigal son went out and wasted everything. I think we have a prodigal God. We do. This prodigal God casts love and belonging and forgiveness and new life and second chances and grace, all with abandon, as if you couldn't use it all up. Guess what? You can't use it all up. God's grace and God's love, those seeds of the gospel, are endless, and God is prodigal and just throws them all over the place. Perhaps we too could be prodigal, to sow seeds with abandon and not worry about, don't worry about results. Don't worry about whether we're going to coax somebody into church and fill up that spot. Don't worry about whether it's doing any good. Throw those seeds around anyhow. Find ways to love your neighbor, even if it doesn't generate results. Nurture and love and mentor children and youth, even if they don't become pillars of the church. Show up at pride rallies. Stand up for the environment. Find ways to let everyone know that the holy of the universe, the holy of the metaverse, loves them and embraces them just the way they are. Throw those seeds around and don't worry if anything takes. In my life, and probably in yours, we've known quite a few folks who have scattered the seeds of the gospel. The message of Jesus, the message of Christ, and the message of God loving all. I'm remembering my youth group leader, Mrs. Wolf. She scattered buckets of very conservative evangelical seeds. Well, it didn't produce a conservative evangelical Lee. But some of them took root in some way. And same for the seeds from a Baptist minister named Reed and a United Church minister named Aubrey. All those seeds just scattered in with abandon. And then there were kernels from somebody named Fran who introduced me to the seeds of feminist theology. And there's so many more. And I'm remembering a congregation that sowed seeds of love amongst those experiencing homelessness, the addicted, and the perpetually drunk. And they just kept sowing those seeds. And some joined the church, you know, for a day or two. And lots didn't. But those folks could get a listening ear and a hot coffee and cookies and the odd meal, and they knew for a fact that they were loved. Every part of them. If sowing seeds with abandon generates a few folks choosing to put down roots in this congregation, then it's a bonus. That's okay. But maybe the seeds you sow don't end up producing a minister or even a churchgoer. Those of us who have parents are hopeful, who are parents. Maybe instead of a minister or a churchgoer, up sprouts an activist or a kind person or someone who has integrity to their very roots. Maybe someone takes steps towards reconciliation or climate action. Maybe someone grows up to change the world. Maybe someone gets fed, and maybe someone doesn't lose their house because of a seed that you planted, an action that you took. And maybe someone just comes to know that they are beautiful and they are loved. A farmer went out to scatter seed in a field. And while the farmer was scattering the seed, some of it fell along the road and was eaten by birds, and other seeds fell on thin, rocky ground and quickly started growing because the soil wasn't very deep. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and dried up because they didn't have deep roots. And some other seeds fell where the thorn bushes grew up and choked the plants, but a few seeds did fall on good ground, where the plants produced 100 or 60 or 30 times as much as was scattered. It is never for nothing, and you just never know. Thanks be to God. Amen.